right, guys, welcome back. Episode 8, the things that I learned in business. And you know what's so funny, guys, is usually I am the one who's on here giving you guys tips and tricks, telling you guys all the tea about how I effed up in business. But today, we put two other people on blast. It's not me anymore. So here I have Bobby and I have Harold, who are amazing, amazing business owners and my business partners. Super possessive. I love using the word my in this case. But I have them here. They joined me on episode 8. It was so crazy because like we are literally mixing hand sanitizer right now. Make sure you check us out, bombbombs.com.
It's the bomb bomb.
But we were literally sitting here making hand sanitizer. I was like, hey guys, so yeah, do you guys want to jump on this this episode with me or not? And so here we are. So let's get into it. But before we do, please note that in this episode, we definitely have the advice corner. So you make sure you stay around long enough to get to the advice corner. There's always some nice juicy content right there. So let's go ahead. Y'all, thank y'all for being on my podcast.
Thanks. It's our pleasure.
Episode 8. What took me so long to actually interview people? This is crazy. All right, y'all. All right.
I'm glad we're the first.
I know, right? This is in history, okay? This is in history. So, the first question I got to ask y'all is, what was one major thing that you learned in business? First, hold on. Let me cut you off. My bad. Tell them about you guys.
I'll let you do that.
You want the long or the short
story?
The
short. Do the short, and I'm going to tell them, because we only got like 15 minutes, so let's go.
We got it. Okay. We got as long as we want, because it's our podcast.
Oh, there's that.
Hit it.
So, once upon a time, okay. Oh, my God. No, really. Harold and Bobby, the story of Harold and Bobby. We're married. We've been married for 15 years, and we got married when we were 20, so do the math. You know our age now. And we both come from families who are, you know, very much... you know, we didn't come from like a lot of money or anything crazy like that, but we came from really balanced families who had good values. And throughout high school, you know, Harold and I always felt like we were a little different than everybody else. And I think it's because our families both instilled really good values, like business values and moral values in us. So we stuck together. You know, that's kind of what kept us together. That was the glue. But moving forward, after we graduated high school, we went to college for a couple of years, but then we both decided that entrepreneurship is the way we wanted to go. So we sought after, you know, trade, education, licensing, different ways that we could earn money in real estate. And we just kind of started spreading our wings from there. And really, this last 15 years has just been kind of like a learning experience for us in so many ways, because the result has been that we now run three small businesses. We like that term, serial entrepreneur. People are saying that these days. So I think we're going to go ahead and stamp that label on our foreheads. But yeah, now we have a small home improvement business. We do construction and remodeling for residential and some commercial properties. We have a live audio business where we provide PA systems for private events and public events, weddings, parties. We also have a installation company, which is kind of a spinoff from the live audio business, where we install sound systems for churches and schools and things like that. I work on television as well for Cash Explosion. Harold works on television occasionally as well. We've been in commercials. We have a recording studio. And our love, our first love, we are actually musicians. I save that for the end, because they always say save the best for last. But Harold is actually a world class, he won't admit it, drummer.
World class. World renowned.
They don't know. The world don't know yet. No.
Search him deep in the dark web.
Harold Towns. No, he's the best drummer that I know. I'm not exaggerating. I come from a musical family too, so I can say that with confidence. But he's a bass player and a drummer, and I am a vocalist and a guitar player, and I'm picking up bass right now. And kind of a natural drummer just from growing up in church environment or whatever. But music is our first love. So we are actually artists as well. We have a band called Towns together. It's just the two of us. We do all of the writing, production, composition, and when we perform,
recording,
mixing. I forgot.
Yeah. I actually did not know this until... you know, right now.
Yeah. So we're on Spotify. We're on iTunes. We have our own Pandora station.
We'll let you hear some of the stuff before we shut down this podcast.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. We're going to do that right at the end.
No, well, this is a business podcast.
I don't care. It's my podcast, guys.
That just got spun the wrong way. I meant Markeisha's going to hear it. Y'all just turned
for all of my listeners, we will get a snippet at the end of this podcast. We will.
We'll do an unreleased song. How about that?
That's cool.
At least it's something, you know.
Now.
Anyway, I say all that to say we wear many hats. Yeah. And that's the long story. And you tell the short story.
Okay, the short story is, you know, we won and we've lost in business. But the biggest, I would say, wait, what's the question again?
I answered the who you are.
Who are you? Yeah. Who are you, millionaire?
Yeah, right. So I'm just Harold. I'm Bobby's husband. And that's really all I can say for me. But what I was going to say is that we got asked a question early on before Bobby gave y'all
Well, no, she asked me to cut in and say who you are. But can you re-ask the question just to refresh our memories? Because we did get off that a little bit.
I think it was
What's the biggest thing you learned in business?
Okay, so the biggest thing, there's actually two biggest things.
Okay.
If that's possible. I would say the first biggest thing is I've learned is don't be afraid to charge what you charge.
Yeah.
And stand behind it.
Oh, my God.
That is a whole sermon.
Can we just get into that a little bit? Can we just dig in that a little bit?
And it was funny because we've been doing business for 6, 7, 8 years as audio company now.
I thought you were going to say all the way back.
We go way, way back. But I'm talking for audio. We've been doing audio for a long time.
At least.
We did a gig recently where I learned from a guy who tipped.
Oh, did he tip?
He tipped us $500 that night. He tipped what we were paying, we're charging. Yeah, he charged him $500, and he tipped us $500. So we made $1,000 that day. That was one of our first $1,000 days. And from that point, we were like,
"This is our value."
Okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. So
he said that too. He told us, don't be afraid. He said the thing he said to us, and he might be listening. We don't know. Yeah. But the thing he said to us when he handed us that envelope is, "Don't be afraid to charge what you're worth." He was like, "This is how much you're worth. You undercharged me."
A word.
And I was like, okay, well, praise the Lord.
This is a sermon or an episode. Yeah, hold on.
It was crazy.
But it is valuable because the amount that you charge dictates the quality of your product. The quality of your product doesn't dictate the quality. It's the perceived quality.
Yep.
I mean, there are people out there who are selling, you know, junk for expensive, you know, for a high price, but that's immoral. My point is, if you really do have a good product or a service, don't be afraid to charge, because you're going to put yourself in a more elite demographic, and people who can afford your services, they will flock to you.
Now, the caveat to that is you do have to deliver that product. You can't sell crap.
Right.
You have to create a product.
It'll come back and bite you in the butt.
It comes back and it bites you in the butt every trip.
Yeah.
So you got to create quality. But once you create quality, you can stand behind it.
Yep.
And you can get what you need for it.
And you have to be reliable and consistent. And that's important, too. You can't leave any room for error. I always use Beyonce as the example. When have you ever heard dirt on Beyonce in the news? And I can safely say never, because she goes out of her way to make sure her record is clean, her mouth is clean, her actions are clean. Everything she does is clean. Whether she's paying somebody to hide it or not, my point is, if you control your environment and you control how people perceive you, then you will always be perceived as whatever you want to be perceived. And for us, we want to be perceived as reliable, positive, quality, and consistent. And that's what we put off. So that's what people know. That's all people know about us. That's all people can say about us. And we leave no room for anything other. And if somebody says something else about us other than that, everyone around them snuff it out, because they know. You must not know Harold and Bobby.
They lie.
Yeah, not the same cats.
It's different Harold and Bobby.
The second biggest thing I've learned is just start.
Yeah, don't wait.
Like,
no matter what it is.
It doesn't matter. Just start. And then when you do that, you're going to fall, but you just got to keep pushing. Keep it pushing, but just start. Whatever it is, just start it now.
Don't get stuck in analysis paralysis.
Oh, man. Oh, that hit a nerve. Okay. Ow. Are you coming for me?
Are you
coming for my life right now? No, I have to add to the value part. It was really hard for me in the beginning of my business to charge what I was worth, because people could not. It was like well, what kind of background do you have? Well, how long have you been doing it? Well, how much do you know? And I was like, oh, I got something for y'all. It's $20. And the molecule bond of the chemistry. Like I started like you studying and perfecting my craft. And then I had to be confident that what I was giving them, and mind you, I'm competing against big brands. I'm competing against companies that are purposely putting fillers in the products just to give you a large amount for a good price. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, you got to pay this $20 because I just gave you the olive oil from the olive off the branch across the street.
All killer, no filler.
Yeah.
So I'm like, come on, my G. So I think once you charge your worth and once you actually emulate what that worth is, because I think emulation and being a catalyst for what transparency and what good quality products look like, then it's more easier to believe. Because I always, something that stuck to me is when someone walked up to me during a vendor show and was like, they were talking to me. We hadn't even gotten into products. They were just talking about me personally, and we were conversing back and forth. And I was like, you know what? Let me get, just pick 10 things off the table. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? And she was like, yeah, just pick 10 things off the table. I'm going to buy it. And I was like, yeah, don't you want to know about the products? Like, I'm ready to defend the product. I'm ready to, put a magnifying over it. And she's like, no, like, I like you. Yeah. And I'm buying because of you. I'm buying because you are the brand. And I was like, woo-hoo. Yeah. Boy, well, if that's the case, then I'm about to make $1 million.
There it is.
So,
there it is. And she's not alone in that.
Yeah.
A lot of people do that. Like that. A lot of people do that.
So, I mean, I'm like, I stick with the example of Tom Ford's bar soap is on the website for retail price of $120. So you can't tell me that I'm not charging my worth.
Exactly.
His bar soap is $120.
Exactly.
Tiffany & Co. have a gold paper clip for over $200. So
but there's an elite feeling that a person gets who can afford to buy that. So they'll do it for the exclusivity.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we should take advantage of that, but I'm saying there are people like that out there who value what they do because of how much they pay for it.
Yeah, but whoever thought of that was just one day like, I'm going to go ahead and put out a gold paper clip.
Yeah.
And then they did.
And somebody was probably like, oh, that's stupid. And then he got $200 or she got $200 for it. And now they're sitting there
thinking,
with their foot in their mouth, like,
yeah.
Oh, dang. Well, maybe I should have came up with
exactly.
a gold paper clip.
So sometimes your idea that you think it sounds stupid, when you're sitting around with your friends and y'all are laughing at, oh, what if we did this or what if we tried that? Sometimes those what ifs, as far fetched as they sound, are literally the best ideas because it's the risky ideas that succeed because they're risky. So that means you're not going to have any competition. No one's going to do the risky thing.
Right. I'm so glad you guys brought that up about how the things that are not popping, and I'm like breaking this down into lame terms and paraphrasing like a MF, but things that are not like popping at some point in time do become popping. And I think we learned that the very easy way.
Yeah, we did.
So we can kind of like talk about that like lesson we learned, because I think, most podcast episodes are now around this time are Rona theme.
Yeah.
And so we just got to touch on it for just a second.
Yeah, the old Rona.
But I think our story is kind of like we sat around when we first met each other. I told them about my skincare line. They told me about their audio business. We was talking about building a building for my nonprofit, and like literally the next 2 weeks later, you guys are like, "Hey, so what about hand sanitizer?"
It just happened.
Yeah, it just happened, and it was like something that I walked by in the store shelves. Like there's a plethora of hand sanitizer, and I didn't even think that that could be the next thing that makes my business blow up. Yeah. And so like here we are in a partnership together with like the bonbons, and I'm slinging more hand sanitizer than I ever thought I would be slinging in my life.
Yeah. People need it, and that's the beautiful thing.
I mean, we've done incredible
about
numbers on it, and I think it's because there is a need for it now that's bigger than it's ever been. And I think just tapping into it, being swift and being intelligent about what you're looking for and what the people are looking for, and helping them find that and be a source, a resource, I think that's what caused the growth. And so many times, you sit back and think, well, should I do this now? Even though it's in need. I mean, can I come up with a product fast enough? Where do I find? I mean, it's impossible to find certain things right now. But if you just try and, put your best foot forward every time, you will succeed. And I think that we learned that this last 2 weeks.
And to spin off of what we said earlier, this is a great example of not charging a lot of money because something is just because you can. You know, in this case, like the sanitizer that we're making, you know, we're talking about we're in a world where people take advantage of negative things. So there are people literally buying bottles of alcohol on, you know, in Walmart and selling them on eBay for $30, $40, $50 a bottle. We're talking about a $2 product.
Yeah.
I mean, and that is almost a 300% markup.
That's asinine.
I mean, sorry, 3,000%. No, 300.
It's 300. That's crazy.
My point is, yeah, exactly. And that's my crazy. Point is that what we're doing with this partnership with Markeisha, with Bomb Bombs, is that we are creating from scratch an extreme high quality product at a time of need, but in a way that still allows for a quality product to be put into the hands of people that need it, rather than just, you know, some watered down alcohol into a bottle with glycerin, shaking it up and selling it and saying, oh, this is hand sanitizer. It's like you can put love into something even if there's a high need for it, and that makes it even better.
Like dollar margaritas at Applebee's.
There you go.
Oh, shots fired. Shots fired.
There you go.
Boom, boom. Take cover.
Oh, ra-ta-ta-ta. Yeah. So, I mean, what I like about, and I'm like literally looking at the product right now, what I like about the hand sanitizer that we offer is so luxurious.
It's
like,
luxurious. It's
we cut a whole other demographic of people that we're not even trying to touch.
Exactly.
Like,
I don't,
like if you shop at Dollar Tree for hand sanitizer, it's not for you. It's not for you.
And we're okay with that because there are people who want something that's not going to dry their hands out.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just a basic need.
Exactly.
You know? Like, and I'm not to knock anybody, but I'm just saying it's a great product. And I think because we put the care, the time, and the love into it, it won't just be here during Rona time.
Yeah.
It'll outlast.
When
Corona has passed and it's a thing of the past and the stay-at-home orders lifted, this is going to be a product that people are going to appreciate and love even throughout. And that's what's important.
And they're going to keep it with them.
They're going to keep it.
Yeah, we chuckle about it all the time about how, like, vitamin C wasn't a thing. And then, like, now between, you know, August and January, vitamin C is selling out everywhere.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Cold and flu season just takes it to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
But, like, have you guys... Okay, I have a question, but this pre-question will drive us to that point. Have you guys ever worked alone outside of working in a partnership together? Whether that be projects, have you guys started your own businesses prior to, I mean, did you used to have a lemonade stand without Harold?
Oh, okay, taking it way back. Yes.
Okay.
I used to sell friendship bracelets when I was a kid.
Okay, bam, bam.
And I used to sell all my artwork. I used to draw.
Hold on, pause.
Vanishing
Point. Pause. Did you know me?
No.
Okay, she's talking about since you met the man.
No, I'm not.
Here he goes. Oh, so, guys, we're used to this.
Welcome to Harold's world.
We're used to this. Welcome to Harold's world. This is Bob Ass Collective.
We just live in it.
Hosting.
See, and the thing is, you know, what were you saying?
Yeah, so before I knew you. I did. I always had that mindset. My mom, she's a gift basket business owner, creator, I should say.
And they're fantastic, by the way.
And she, her
Can we drop her website just for the one time?
Does she have one? It used to be floydsfinestgifts.com.
Just go check it.
That domain, if GoDaddy pops up, guys, that just means
scratch
she doesn't
that.
Have a website
anymore. Scratch that.
Because a lot of businesses survive off of word of mouth. But and we all know that, you know.
Oh yeah.
But so I came from that background. My father is a jazz musician. His name is Bobby Floyd. I don't know if you guys listen.
Can we get some drum rolls up here, please?
But they're both, you know, my mom, she was a teacher and she's retired now. But my point is, I think the reason I had little businesses is because my dad was an entrepreneur. So, you know, he worked for himself in the music world. And my mom owned a business, even though she worked in the workforce, you know, as a teacher. So I learned the value of commerce and, you know, supply and demand. And my dad had me writing checks and balancing his checkbooks when I was like 9, you know, so I understood the value. So I had a few couple little small things I used to do off to the side. Now, Harold, you used to run a business in high school. You used to install car stereo systems.
Yeah, I mean, I've always
like
been like a hustler.
I
used to do,
you met,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
or was
no,
it?
you knew me at the time, but you didn't know anything
about
car stereo. So
yeah,
I would do audio, like for my buddies. I would build custom subwoofer boxes and stuff. And I've always been like a super, super like car guy.
Into, with your dad too.
into cars and car audio and whatever, but what else?
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, me and my dad had a grass cutting business.
That's what I'm saying. Back in the day, man, when you were a kid.
So when I was a kid, like my dad, like he, we got this old trailer. At the time, it was brand new. Got this little trailer and he put some walls on it. And then he bought like an old riding lawnmower from somewhere that hardly ran. And we would go and cut grass, you know, like 15, 20 bucks a yard or something like that. And I think he just did it just to show me kind of, you know, how to run a business. And as well as that, he was actually helping his sisters and stuff, because she had, I know one of his sisters had a lot of property.
That's what I was thinking.
And he would go out and cut her grasses, her lawns or whatever at her different properties. But,
In the construction business. Your dad had a construction business. Yeah. And that's where you got your experience with construction.
Yeah, my experience with construction came from there. But that wasn't a business that I ran.
No, but I mean, it kind of shows the history of, like,
Your thought of being able to be independent. I've always been the guy that's like, oh man, you know, just give it a shot. That's always been me. So.
And Harold knows how to fix cars, guys. He wears a lot of hats. Harold knows how to fix cars. And no, I'm just saying, this is another thing.
Yo, this is promo. We need to be out here trying to get this paper.
Right. You know, your dad was a business owner.
Yep.
You know, and that's probably where you got it from.
I believe so.
You know, and he taught you a lot of different ways to help yourself and learn how to do things yourself, which in turn has made you super independent, and then people have now relied on you to do things for them. Because that's true, when you're a type of person that knows how to just do things, everybody doesn't know how to do a lot. Most people know how to do a couple of things really well, but Harold knows how to do a lot of things really well, and so it makes him valuable to his friends and his family. So they end up contacting him when they need a flyer, when they need their pipes fixed, when they need to figure out a business plan, when they have whatever, any problem, issue, anything, they can say, okay, Harold knows, you know, he's the guy with the resources. If he can't do it, he can find somebody else who can, you know? But I say all that to say, that kind of ties into her question in my mind, you know, I think it's value. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. So that actually segues into the next question is like, how does being in a partnership make business better, or does it? And in this case, you guys are like
super partnered,
25-8 partnered. Yeah, so like, does that business partnership make it better? Or is it actually like, you know, like, I wish I could do business on my own, but it's just like something we're in.
I think the thing about a business partnership is that everybody needs to be on the same page. And I think that once everybody's on the same page and has the same amount of push, I think you will triple your numbers by doubling your people.
Right, you get more value out of doubling.
So yeah, so you as long as everybody's on the same page, pushing in the same direction, you'll get significantly more out of the business than you would alone. But what happens, I think, to a lot of partnerships is you get the wrong person involved, or you know, you don't have a good agreement or understanding of what job roles are and that kind of thing,
goals are,
and then you kind of lose sight of everything, and you can pretty much end the business before it gets started if you pick the wrong people.
Yeah.
In our case, because we're married, that came first, and I think our common interests are what brought us together in the first place. So for Harold and I, it's a little different because we have been together, like literally physically together, probably every day of our lives. I can probably only count on one or two hands the number of days we've actually been apart since we were 16, and we're 35. That's almost 20 years of just, I mean, it's just all we know, you know, right? What I mean, it's what we're used to and it's what we love. So for us, we've grown together, so who we are, we've adapted to each other.
Yeah.
So where Harold is weak in something, I'm strong, and then where I'm weak in something, he's strong. So it helps to where, like, I'm a very analytical person. I like to do like paperwork and spreadsheets and things like that, and Harold is the visionary. You know, he comes out and he'll sit down and he'll talk out a whole entire business plan top to bottom with all the details and not write down a single note. I'm the one that will be like, we gotta write down all the notes and we gotta take this, but it's good because I can record the idea that he has.
Yep.
So everything we do has kind of an ebb and flow, like a yin and yang kind of thing. So I think to your question, for us it works beautifully to be in a partnership together. I think the only downside is just when you have disagreements, but I think that's everything.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Even to like, because we're all in a partnership with each other, and I know I could probably speak for like people who are not in partnerships with like their husband or wife. I've been in my skincare business for 5 years, and then just kind of being into the nonprofit world for like 2 or 3 years, and all on my own. So right, like right. Bobby and Harold came to me. Harold did most of the talking, people, and he was like, "Yo, so we gonna start this hand sanitizer or not?" And I was like, and I was genuinely scared. I was super happy that I had like business partners, and they've grown to be like besties, y'all. Like
we love you, Storkeisha.
Oh, yeah. I feel like we like live in the same house with each other. Like this
we
is
do right
yeah,
now.
We're here all the time.
Yeah, like 7 days a week. We are in here mixing and slinging. Yes. But it was like such a nervous wreck for me to give that part of my business away in a sense. In safekeepings when I've been operating for so long by myself. And so like, I feel like, yes, it has been an amazing journey, amazing short journey. Right. And it's crazy because I'm like, I'm over here thinking of other ways. Like I'm trying to convince them to jump on my bath salts or like body butter. I'm like, come on, y'all. Let's get this money. But like, I wish into this question that I would develop business partnerships early on.
Yeah.
Because I could have been so much further.
Yeah.
So much further than just operating by myself. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of want to like get into the next question of, because you brought it up. It's like where I'm not strong, Harold is, mm-hmm. and where Harold is strong. I mean, where Harold mm-hmm. is weak, you know, mm-hmm. I'm strong. Mm-hmm. That's like a nursery rhyme, right?
Or a song.
Something like that.
It's like a song or something. It just, okay.
It does sound very familiar.
Yeah, it was very nostalgic for a second. It kind of made me tingle. Right. Okay, all right. Okay. But like, let's talk about how in partnerships, how that affects the ability to get things done when one person lacks, like, let's say productivity or analysis paralysis. Like they have severe analysis paralysis. And like, how do you guys think that affects partnerships? And not just pertaining to you guys, yeah. but like other partnerships that you guys have been in with other people. Like, because I know that's something that we all struggle with at some point in business. And that's regardless of whether you have friends coming in with you. Maybe you're doing a press release kit. You know, maybe you're doing a vendor show. You have a partnership somewhere with somebody. So like, talk a little bit about that, like the downsides to a business partnership.
I think the biggest downside is just personnel. I think having the wrong person will close your business, and like you won't even know why. Like because
you won't even see it happen.
Yeah, you won't see it happen. It's so fast because I mean, like I said, if somebody's like skimming off, if you're creating a product, if they're skimming off of your materials, if they're not doing their part to help you source out materials, mm-hmm. if they're not doing their part to be, you know, creative marketing wise, if they're not putting in their financial obligation, you know, or if they're not being totally upfront with you about the amount of time they're putting in on the business at home,
mm-hmm.
and you know you're thinking that this is getting done when it's not, or you know, same vice versa. They're thinking you're doing things that you're not. I've seen it ruin businesses completely. I've seen analysis paralysis stop somebody from a $300,000 deal because you know they're like, well, I'm not sure if I should sell this place or if I should do this, or you know, and it's like at the end of the day, you know, you have to have somebody on your team who's decisive. You have to have somebody on your team who is a thinker. You have to have somebody on your team who is, you have to have people on your team that'll balance each other out, because if there's no balance, there's no sustainability. Balance is the key, like physically, mentally, spiritually is the key to success. You have to be able to know you can trust everybody on your team. Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't trust somebody, then, you know,
then you'll just be like walking on eggshells. Like you'll be micromanaging. And I hate a micromanager. That is like my pet peeve. Like, do not micromanage me. If you give me a task, let me get my damn job done.
So basically, like the way we were mixing last night, you know, I felt like I was being micromanaged.
Wow. Wow. He decided to come on this platform.
She can mute your mic.
Let me say
where there's positivity and love up in here.
No, let me say this. Everybody, I think too, important in working with other people is that you always show each other what you're doing. You know, so like if somebody's really good mixer, you know, have
like
them,
me.
Teach the other members to mix. If somebody's really good at marketing.
Wow, he really threw that back on me in the process of me being slimy.
Like, yeah.
I'm like me. He's like, teach somebody how to mix.
You know, and if you're good at marketing, show people what you're doing. Show people how you're branding. Like, show people how you're creating flyers. That way, you know, as the business grows, if you get sick Or if somebody you're not able to do something, you know, somebody, hey, Bobby, can you step in and do this while I got to yeah. run to this funeral, this wedding,
like,
whatever.
I don't know how she does it. It's like I've learned the entire process through observation and through sharing so then I can be comfortable and confident yeah. knowing I will put out the same and product what, that she would.
Yeah, yep. And what that does is just makes a stronger team in general. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to have experts at everything on like every corner, but just be,
people.
Yeah, just be, know how to package your product, know how to, you know, mix your product, know how to read the ingredient labels to make sure you're putting the right stuff in. Mm-hmm. And also know how to just be a team player. Know how to talk to people. If it's your friend and you say they're your friend, talk to them like they're a friend. Mm-hmm. You do not
yes.
have to come down with an attitude just because you're not having a good day. Make sure you're not taking out, you know, your today's frustrations on people, because that will lead to a troublesome tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's all about respect. You know what I'm saying? You give respect, you earn respect. So I think that, like, things like that have just blown businesses out. Like, I've seen it blow mm-hmm. businesses up because it's like they just didn't know how to talk to another person on the team.
Yeah, and I say that too a lot. I never know what a person goes through before they walk through the door, and so I have to treat everyone with the utmost respect. That's just, like, my golden rule. And, I mean, I always stand by, too. Like, once you cross that line, you cross that line, unless, you know, we mutually come to an agreement that you effed up and, you know, I didn't.
Is that the
agreement? No, but seriously, like, I really do believe in, like, it has to be complete transparency. I feel yeah. like that's what I live by. I'd rather be all the way honest and disclose everything than not disclose enough.
Right.
Because I want to allow everyone to make their executive decisions about me.
Exactly.
So, like, if you don't like, you know, what I'm doing, it's okay, because I gave you full transparency. So, like, once you say you don't like it, then I have the opportunity to say I'm going to change it or I'm not. That's just who I am.
Yep.
And even on a business level, there's moments, like, we've seen it. We've been operating, like, I think at full capacity for, like, 3-4 weeks where
yep.
we've had to make, like, decisions. Like,
yeah, mm-hmm. like that moment.
Yeah, like, okay, so, hey, guys.
right now.
So how are we going to make a decision?
Yeah.
And it's been super cool to, like, see how all of our brains work. Because,
yeah.
like,
they're totally different.
Harold explained it. He was like, Markeisha's super laid back. He's like, I'm in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby's like super
board,
tight.
Yeah.
Like, she's
yeah.
the one, like, no, we gotta have everything together. I'm like, shit, I mean,
yeah.
it is what it is.
It's perfect,
for sure.
though.
For sure.
You know what's funny? So Harold and I, well, two things. One, I think to answer your first question, because I wanted to say something very short. The challenge of having partnerships.
Yes.
One of my challenges, and I don't know, there's probably other people relate to this, but one of my challenges is hurting people's feelings.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and I hate it. I literally, like, crumble if I have to hurt someone's feelings. So it's hard for me to tell somebody, I don't like what you're doing, or I don't like your idea, or, you know, I can say, like, oh, that's nice, but if I just have to just blatantly just be like, that sucks.
I don't think I realize it until after the damage is done, and I'm like, shut the hell up. And
yeah.
then I'm like, oh.
Oops, shouldn't have said that.
I mean, I meant it, but
yeah.
I could have said it a different way. I mean, I meant every word of it,
yeah.
but, you know, yeah, so I'm with you. It's like, I don't like hurting people's feelings, but sometimes, like, it's just what has to be done.
Yeah, and that's a challenge for me. Because everyone, you know, like you guys, and that's where you guys are strong and I'm weak. Because y'all could tell somebody quick, nah, that sucks, bro.
Get that up.
Right, go away with that. Get away with that. So
I think we're going to go with someone else.
Yeah,
thanks.
Exactly. Now, when I'm dealing with people who I don't know, it's different.
Yeah.
Harold has to stop me because I can just like.
Just shred them.
I'll let you have it because if I don't know you, I don't got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
You know? But
what are you going to do? Block me?
Yeah, exactly. Huh? What are you going to do? But what were we saying before, though? Because there was, now I wanted to say something different. Lord, I forgot.
It was just, like, about partnerships overall and about, like, the pros and cons, but more so, like, identifying those cons.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, like, once we got past that cons part, it's, like, how does that partnership balance itself out in business?
Right.
And I think for us, like, because we kind of went down a rabbit hole, like, intermingling, like, our relationship as business
mm-hmm.
partners has developed into a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we do a really good job,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't seen zero issues yet of,
oh,
like,
no.
where friendship has merged or blended to where we couldn't still do
separate,
business
exactly,
and we couldn't separate it.
Exactly.
Even in the midst of a joke, like, we could be dead and laugh, and, like, if an email comes through about
it's
business,
like,
or a text message,
yeah,
we like,
yeah,
so,
exactly, yeah.
hey, let's
right.
mix.
Right.
Yeah, like, trying to get done. And we will hop up out the seat so fast.
We will literally like be in the middle of a quesadilla. And
a whole quesadilla and a Netflix and chill.
And if orders start coming in, we turn off the TV and we're mixing. Yeah. So like, I think that's super dope too. So my third question, and then y'all know we got to get into the advice corner because I know y'all looking forward to that. But I still do have more questions for them. The third one was
running out of time.
We got all the time in the world, y'all.
This is a special.
Like a 6-hour podcast.
This is a special
podcast.
This is a special. All right. Okay. That means they need to. What are they doing? They're quarantining, chilling.
What are they gonna do? Block you?
Right. Y'all don't block me. Subscribe, please. Yeah, subscribe. What was the pivotal moment? The pivotal moment in business for you guys.
I think our pivot was so big, I never felt it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a pivotal moment, just realizing, you write your own check pretty much. I mean, essentially,
come on, talk about it.
You don't have to worry about, as long as your product is comparable to what you're charged, like for what the, as long as you deliver a quality product, you can charge pretty much what you want. I think that was the pivotal point in my realization of the business and how it works, because
you don't have to be the cheapest guy on the street.
Yeah, like doing work, especially like manual labor, people will be like, hey man, I need you to hang 10 sheets of drywall, you know, and I got $300. And you know, if they were to call like a drywall, different drywall company, they would be, you know, $3,000 or $4,000. And then you're like, well no, I can do it for $1,000. And they're like, no, that's way too expensive. And then you feel bad. You know, I got to a place where I'm like, I don't feel bad anymore. I need $1,000 to do that job. Well, it's only going to take you a day. Well, I need $1,000 to do it.
Because that's what my time is worth.
Because that's what my time is worth. Yeah. You know, and you realize that. Yeah, you realize that. And then it is what it is. And there's no hard feelings. There's no love lost. It's like at the end of the day, you know, you're doing what you can, but you got to take those jobs because there's somebody willing to pay you that.
Yeah.
So as soon as I take your $200 job.
Without explanation. Just like you were saying. Yeah. With our products at your trade shows and stuff.
Yeah.
You were waiting. You were like almost... like expecting.
Yeah, I was anticipating the worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you don't realize it, but there are people who just want the product because it's great.
Yeah.
Right. And that's how it works. I mean, you get to a position and it's like, no, I'm not going to do it. Well, by turning that job down, now I'm open to do one that'll pay me what I need.
Instead of tying myself down for,
you know, a job that was only supposed to take a day, ended up taking 2 days because you found mold and you had to do this and you had to get insulation, you had to do that. So, you know, after everything's said and done, don't undercut yourself. You know, and that was the biggest pivotal point for me when I'm realizing like, okay, I feel like I've been undercutting myself for the last 2.5 years, 3 years on labor and work or whatever.
And then you end up stressed and you end up crunched for time too, because you're not making what your time is worth, you're not making enough money in a year. So now when you're doing jobs, you're rushing to get them done. You're starting to overlap, having two customers at once, and you're going back and forth trying to meet both needs.
Yeah.
And really all it comes down to is you didn't charge enough.
Yep.
That's all it is. You know, at the end of the day, because if you charge enough, it's worth the time for you to just take all of your materials to that one location, finish the job, and then go to the next.
And feel good about it, too.
And feel good. And then you can spend more hours. So if the client wants it done quickly, they've paid you enough to where you can, not rush, but you can kind of press and get it done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we're still not selling $200 paper clips. You see what I'm saying? This is still like a $20 paper, $10 paper clip.
Yeah,
there
glass.
Are $200 paper clips out there. Classy. But the thing is, you know, I'm not saying that you got to just charge as much as you possibly can, but I'm saying, you know, if let's say you're selling a product that normally runs $10, and you had originally been selling yours for two, sell yours for $8. Come in just under what it is, but still be, you know, stand behind your product and believe
it. And then, too, when you are always the cheapest guy, you are driving down the value of that service. Because if the lowest price in the city is $10 an hour for whatever you're doing, and you come in saying, I'm going to do it for $8, well, now the lowest price in the city is $8 because you made it $8. And somebody else
you're making the average
$9. And the guy that charges $10, somebody says, well, I just got it done for $8. Well, now the guy that did it for 10 feels like, dang, okay, well, maybe I'm charging too much.
Yep.
So you start driving the value down. So you know, but anyway.
Yeah, biggest pivotal point is when I realized that I need to charge fairly. And when I say fairly, I'm talking about fairly for the customer and fairly for myself.
Mm-hmm. So I guess let me get into that. Like, let me dig into that a little bit. There's a lot of people who deal with these situations, and they constantly get themselves in a moment where God, the universe, Buddha, Allah, whatever you want to call this outside force, is like literally telling them, hey, like, this is your moment to shift your business. This is your moment to think and do different. How many times were you given that chance to like make that change? Like, could you recall, like, there were times where you're like, that person called me and they wanted to do it for $300. I told them $1,000, but I gave in and did $300, and I could be so much more further had I just made that shift. Has there been multiple moments like that, or did it just like, did you wake up and you were like, I feel it, and I'm charging $1,000?
I want to see what Bobby's answer to the season. I have an answer to that.
Yeah.
But what's your answer?
Well, here's the thing. Maybe I can tie this together because first of all, let me say this. This is going to tie in. My pivotal moment was when I realized, learning from Harold, that we could do anything.
Because literally.
There was a time I grew up and you know, my family was successful and everything, and they did well in the things that they did, but they weren't super huge risk takers.
Yeah.
So I learned to be a risk taker with Harold, and there were things that I never thought in a million years that I would do that I now do.
Yeah.
And it took one specific project. It was building our home recording studio. We started the project. Harold drew it all out. He was excited, and I'm like, this dude's overzealous. I don't even know how we're gonna do this. We finished that project, and when we peeled back the last piece of plastic off the ground, I nearly cried because I was like, wow, we can literally do anything with our own two hands, right?
Insert the Carter is nice.
Yeah. Okay. It blew me away because I all of a sudden, that was my pivotal moment, because I all of a sudden had like juice. Like, I had so much confidence.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, you put anything on my table, I'm getting it done, because right. Look what we just did. And
right.
I had doubts, you know?
Yeah.
But to answer, to roll that into your question, asking it one more time.
Like, how many times did you have to poke your butt
yes.
on that needle
yes.
before you were like, ow, like, that hurts?
Yeah, okay, good. So, realizing that we can do anything, that needed to happen so that when we did have the opportunity to do better, I had already experienced success to be able to say, okay, if I put my mind to this, if I do it this way, this is going to be the result, because that's just what happens.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is how the universe rewards you for making efforts, for taking risks and having faith.
Yep.
Right? So I think for us, the opportunity came a million times. And that may not be like that for everyone, but it's about your perception.
Yeah.
What is an opportunity to you? Every time somebody calls us with a job is an opportunity.
Fire!
You feel me? Like, it's not about, like, people think that there's everything's once in a lifetime. You have 1,000 chances every day to do better, to do something different, to learn from your mistake from yesterday. So I feel like every single time somebody came to us asking us to do anything for them, that's our opportunity. And I think for us too, it happened gradually.
Mm-hmm.
We you got to dip your toes in the water, because you got to see how deep the water is.
Right.
So for us, it's like, well, let's charge a little more and see how people react. Because it's scary to just be like, I'm just going to triple my prices today.
Yep.
And you're like, man, but I could also not have any more clients.
Exactly.
But in slowly increasing them, and naturally your work gets better over time too.
Yep.
It matches.
Yep.
And then eventually you get to the point where you're able to turn down business that's not worth your time, or pass it to somebody who's maybe starting out.
Yep.
Because you know that you can be
successful. Or pass it to someone who's just doing it for less.
For less, yeah.
There are going to be people that do what you do for less money.
And there's going to be people that do what you do for more.
And those people you can feed. And those people will be grateful to know you.
Exactly.
And those people, I'm telling you.
Can we say that one more time?
Right, yeah. Say it again. Yeah, at the end of the day, there's going to be people that do your same job for less money.
Mm-hmm.
But those people you can feed, you can help. Yep. So when you help them, they're going to appreciate you. And then the people that want to pay more, that want a different product or the same product or a better, you know, whatever, they're going to be happy. So you're just,
and they're
going to
be
a part of your community, whatever it is.
Exactly.
Just
and there are people in that same vein who charge more for what we do because they want bigger jobs. And then we get the overflow of the jobs that they don't want because they're too small. And but that's a
saying
big
all
us.
Of this to say everyone can eat.
Everyone can
Everybody
eat.
Can eat.
There's
enough out here. There's different levels to everything. I mean, there's a $200 paperclip. Okay, so once again, you know, you might not be the $200 paperclip. Maybe you're the $10 paperclip. But for somebody who's looking for a $20 paperclip, they're going to go to the person that gives out $20 paperclips. And if somebody's looking for a $2 paperclip, you can forward, you know, that person's information to the person who makes $2 paperclips. So just be a part of that paperclip community, and You know, everybody's gonna win.
Be a part of that paperclip community. Okay. I had so many DJ Khaled, like, you played yourself moments. Uh-huh. Like, there was so many moments. I think, like, the first 3 years of my business. I mean, we were talking about, like, starting all the way back from the beginning of this episode about, like, undervaluing yourself and not pricing yourself right. And, like, now up until this point of the episode of not, like, that pivotal moment comes and you, and for me, I seen it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I see that check is right there, but for some reason my confidence is not matching that check. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I take the check, or am I going to produce the results that are valued to that dollar sign? Mm-hmm. And that was the part that I played myself on so many times, because if you know me, like if you're listening to my voice and you're like, I know her, and you call me Mooka, then that means you know me. You know that I am like the most confident person. Like, even if I don't have the answer right, I will sit there and be like, give me a second. Right. With my shades on, like, I will figure it out. Like,
we're gonna work this thing out, right?
I'll work it out. And so I could never figure out in those first 2-3 years of my business, like, why my confidence in business was not matching how I'm naturally confident. Mm-hmm. And how I know, like, that is my divine right to have that check. Mm-hmm. I know that. Mm-hmm. But in business, I can't be confident.
Yeah.
And for, like, all of the people out there listening, like, you have to, it's so cliche. Like, I listen to books, I listen to audiobooks, I listen to, like, people who became famous and millionaires, and they say the same thing I'm saying. But, I mean, it's real life. Like, you have to allow the divine being, who you are, who God blessed you to be, to just shine through all of the BS. Mm-hmm. Through all of those moments of doubt and like self-questioning. Mm-hmm. If you see that check and that check has your name on it and somebody says, can you do the job, and they're about to hand it to you, you need to take
absolutely.
It and then from there, like Harold said, you need to execute. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to provide that quality service or that product, and that's on period.
That's it.
That's on period.
Nothing else to it. So, and then once it's done, your confidence is boosted, and the person knows you can do it, and then you just repeat.
And now you're ready to do it again, and you get used to seeing that same check, and now you're looking for a bigger one.
Exactly.
And then there's bigger fish to fry.
Exactly.
Listen, then you eating bigger fish, now okay? Now you ain't eating tilapia no more. Now you eating, I don't know what's the fancy fish.
Orange ruffy or something.
Sword fish.
Some sword fish. Woo.
Sword.
Now you eating sword fish.
Sword.
All right, y'all. And welcome to the advice corner. So I usually take about like 1 to 2 minutes to kind of dig into the advice that I'm gonna give you guys today on this episode, but this one is very simple. We've been talking about in this episode how we've made some mistakes or have foreseen some mistakes, and how we've pivoted and changed and grown in our businesses. And the biggest one I can tell you guys is, early in the game, delegate whenever possible. Okay, delegate whenever possible. From personal experience, I wore all the hats up until this point in my business. I still wear a nice amount of hats in my business, and it is completely stressful. And at one point in time, I had to temporarily, not shut down, I hate saying that word, I had to go on a hiatus. Because I had completely burnt myself out physically. And when you physically can't do your job, then you can't make any money. And so from the start, delegate whenever possible, outsource, reach out to your dedicated, show up friends and family.
Yes, ride or die.
The volunteers, the people you can pay in Little Caesars, mm-hmm. in Burr, mm-hmm. okay, and why, okay. Reach out to them and delegate the tasks and the jobs that you know you cannot get done, but you know they are essential and critical for your business to succeed. Mm-hmm. You guys want to add anything to this advice corner? Because I mean, it's so simple. It's so simple.
I think, literally, I can't agree more. Delegate and make sure, you know, just to piggyback, delegate with, you know, with people you trust too. Don't just drop it in random mm-hmm. hands. You guys got to be somebody who's going to execute, and somebody who is, has a similar ability to learn that you have, because if you don't know how to do something, you have to know how to learn how to do it. And that's important, because if you give them instruction, it has to be right.
Yep.
You can't have somebody making a bunch of mistakes, because now you're making yourself spend more time doing what you have to do and correcting their mistake.
Yep.
So delegate to somebody you really trust and that wants what you want.
Yep.
For your business.
Yep. All right, y'all. That was the advice corner. Let's get back into the show.
Real quick, a word from our sponsor. Strong Family Bonds, maker of Sergeant Heart's premium handcrafted barbecue sauce. Foodies appreciate the complex levels of concentrated flavors and a memorable dining experience of Sergeant Heart's barbecue sauce. Visit strongfamilybonds.com now. That's strongfamilybonds.com. They help turn good recipes into great cuisine. Strongfamilybonds.com, maker of Sergeant Heart's barbecue sauce, the taste that welcomes you home. Visit strongfamilybonds.com now. Look for Sergeant Heart's barbecue sauce on Amazon.
All right, y'all. So let's get into this last question. We're going to wrap up because we got into a season finale premiere. I feel like we are doing a Love & Hip Hop reunion right now. Boy, this is getting juicy. This is crazy. All right. So the last one is, what is something that people overlook in their business? And I want us to take a moment really quick and really dig deep into this question, because a lot of people are like, you know, I overlooked my finances, or I overlooked, you know, my schedule and like what I could do. But like, what is something that, like, when you think back in you guys 10 plus years in business, what is something that you originally overlooked, or even now, it could be a couple days ago, where you looked and you were like, oh snap, like that is something I definitely cannot miss. And how are you guys fixing it, or how have you fixed it?
What is it?
I think organization is something that people overlook.
What about?
Oh yeah,
we're organized. What about our? I don't think what we've overlooked. I don't. We're not perfect. I'm just saying we've thought a lot about. We think through things pretty thoroughly.
What user experience. I think people overlook a lot.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Like, how does your product feel? You're using
practicality.
How does it feel to purchase your product? How does it? You know, but I really don't know. I mean, that's a great question, because I don't know. I mean, there's a lot to be overlooked, but I think a real, true business-minded person is not one to overlook.
I think that's
I mean, like, if you're built for this, you know,
come on.
You
know,
there's not going to be a lot for you to.
There's not going to be a lot for you to feel that way. But I mean, the things to look out for, I would say, organization, definitely. Definitely.
I think the cliches.
You know what? I bet people overlook, and what we've overlooked.
Okay, now you're talking, because I can't think of
it. Ourselves.
Ooh, it. A word, y'all, that's a word.
As business owners, we overlook ourselves.
That's it.
We come last.
Insert that's bomb it. Noise.
Right here. Harold,
no,
that's it.
It. Because you put the business first, and it's hard
and
not to.
You put
to.
The people first.
It's hard not to.
So ourselves, and that's exactly right, because now, who are you and where are you in all this? When do you get time? When do you get time to stop and service yourself rather than serving everyone else? That is actually exactly right. Is there anything else that needs to be said?
Oh, no, you know, I think that was a perfect way to close this baby out. And to say that, Bobby and Harold, I think this is like a little self-care moment. Like, It is very important that you take care of yourself. There was plenty of times where I like literally ran myself into the ground. I actually give you a story way before I started my business journey. But in high school, I did 17-hour days in school. 17-hour days. I was full-time in robotics, cheerleading, volleyball. Some seasons overlapped. I was class president. I was very much, let's just say, involved. Okay, I'm not bragging. If you're listening to me from high school, I'm sorry that you are still feeling a type of way. I apologize. No, I'm kidding. But I say all that to say, one day we were at a basketball game, and you know, I'm cheering and living my best life, and I go up to do a herky, and I do not make it down on my 2 feet. Wow. I end up in the hospital, and they're like, sis, you don't even got to tell us what happened or what you did. Your body is depleted of everything that keeps a body living.
Wow.
Your vitamins, your nutrients, you're dehydrated. Like, and I'm like, yo, I'm knocking back Gatorades. I'm knocking back bottles of water. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm fueling myself on honey buns.
Wow.
What are you talking about, fam? Yeah. And they're like, no, like, you're shutting down. Your body is shutting down. And at one point when I was 16, I was transitioning into my junior year and got diagnosed with acute kidney failure. That was the real deal. That was like, huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
As a teenager.
So, yeah. That's wild. That's so crazy. They had found like scarring on my kidney, and it was really weird. It was mysterious. And yeah, a couple months later, I had to like kind of take seriously like my health and like how much I take care of myself. And I'm like, I can't be everything to everybody. Mm-hmm. And in our business, that everybody is your business. Exactly. You can't be everything. Like, that goes back to the advice corner. Mm-hmm. You have to delegate. Like, yep. You have to say, it's okay, I'm going to step back. Mm-hmm. Like today, prime example, Harold was mixing.
Back on the couch.
I was sitting back and I was eating Wendy's, okay? I said, listen, I can't be everything to all these sanitizers. I can't. Hey, I can't be everything to all the flavors, as Harold would say.
I gotta be everything to all of them.
Yeah. No, yeah.
You can just be part of something.
So I think it's very important that you take moments to take care of yourself. When we're talking, I mean, because we are a skincare company.
Absolutely.
It is very important that you get yourself some aromatherapy.
That's right.
And so if I had to offer any advice to you, I would tell you to go indulge yourself into some shower steamers, which you can find on the website
at www.bombbombs.com.
Thank you, Bobby. I would also recommend some lovely lavender detox bath bombs, which are packed with Epsom salt, lavender essential oils, and baking soda to completely detox you and remove you of all those toxins. But to say all that, it is very important that in this game, this constant monopoly life game of entrepreneurship, that we continue to make sure we're well, because when you die, your business might die. Mm-hmm. If you don't have an heir, if you don't have anything in your will to mm-hmm. set that business up for or to, it might fade away with you. And so for as long as you can live on this earth to be impactful in your business, for as long as you can, make sure that you are being well and you are taking care of yourself. So, this ends episode 8, Times That I Wanted to Quit, starring Harold and Bobby. But the lessons that we learned in business, I hope that you guys enjoyed this. Make sure you are following me on Instagram at BombAzzCollective. That is BombAzz Collective. Also, you can find me on Facebook at Markeisha J. That is JAYY, Markeisha J. As always, you know, I think I will be releasing my episodes on a different day, because if you heard my husband and his piano in the background, while we are quarantined, we are both business owners, and he is still in my shine. So we might have to figure out a different day to do this thing. So I will keep you guys in tune with that. But as always, follow me. We are sharing, caring, and loving, one blog, one podcast, one post at a time. I love you guys. I will see you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
See ya.